happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Welcome, Saskatchewan. It's the start of another week. It is the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Barney Shinkaruk here with you to kick the week off on this Monday, April 22nd. And the Sports Cage is brought to you by the Kenistin Playoff Super Draft. $80,000 up for grabs in the original playoff draft. Support Sasky, try your luck, maybe with some buddies. Deadline is today, 6 p.m. You can go check out the website, superdraft.com, or you can see it on their Facebook page.
Riding. Oh, so if you're sitting there, if the deadline is 6, it's Maz here, by the way, if the deadline is 6, what last-minute moves are you making to put your team together to be like, no, the Leafs got a shot, they're going to pull it out, I'm going all Leafs and Predators.
Saskatchewan interruption guy is Maz. Maz is riding with me today on this program, and Colson's got the board doing the Sir Mix-a-Lot stuff back over there. Yeah, okay, so if you know what? One is easy. One, you get one for $40, and you pick 32 players out of the box, or you can fill in. Now, if you want to get creative and do the 3 for $100, that's when, with 3 hours left, Maz, a little tricky.
So if you're thinking, because let's see tonight, because we still have
Dallas
to play tonight. Yeah,
Vegas,
so we got Dallas, Vegas, the
Edmonton,
Kings,
Edmonton, and the delusional fan base that is oil country against the Los Angeles Kings.
Okay, so I know that in the few hockey drafts that I've actually been in, the last one I think I came in second place. It was a team. Swift Current Broncos, and at the time Todd McClellan was the coach and Jamie Reeve was the assistant coach. And
so you're telling me the last playoff draft you went in was the late 90s?
No, I'm telling you the last time I actually won something.
Okay.
I won an East, here's how old and long ago, I won an Easton aluminum hockey stick and two blades.
Gold, the gold one, the black one, or the silver?
No, it was a black one.
Oh yeah, okay.
Those are like, and I think that one of the reasons why, because the sneaky, under rest in peace, Pavel Dimitra. That's, remember when he popped off and just out of nowhere?
Yeah,
he did. So Kenistin Super Draft. So let's see, Hurricanes, Bruins, Panthers, Rangers, Jets, and Canucks have already won so far. So if you're stacking your team, oh man,
yeah, there's going to be a lot of people going in last minute here that are hammering Adam Lowry from the Winnipeg Jets after what he did yesterday. Maybe a little bit of thought to it and strategic, or you know what, just wing it, because I think the weekly prize, that's what Lotto Lawrence from Saskatoon, he was going to join us today, he can't, he's actually finished pretty high in this thing a number of times. He said you want to pick like four teams that are obviously going to meet in the semifinal. But he says if you want to sprinkle it around and hammer the board like roulette and just chuck chips everywhere, you got a chance of winning that weekly prize of like $1,000. So a lot of different strategy you can do. We got a full show. This ain't going to be just all NHL, and it's not going to be all Kenistin hockey draft. In the 5 o'clock hour, we have like you look back at some of the biggest free agent signings in sport. Yeah, and no, let's be honest here. Like the one that I remember that's not hockey related, Barry Bonds. Like when Barry Bonds went to San Francisco from Pittsburgh, that was a huge deal. Obviously, a lot of people that are sports fans remember the LeBron James made for TV thing. You look at hockey, like Zdeno Chara is ranked number two as biggest free agent signings when he went from Ottawa to the Bruins. The number one, I wouldn't have guessed this one. The number one, according to thehockeywriters.com, the number one free agent signing ever in the NHL was Scott Stevens to the New Jersey Devils. Now, he did win a lot of Stanley Cups and a lot of hardware there in New Jersey, so that makes sense. But at 5 o'clock, you can tease everyone.
It's our big Sports Cage free agent signing. We were able to get this done last week. You're really going to like this guy. He's familiar. Let's see.
See, Coulson, now Coulson goes, so it's a male. Coulson's saying, all right, now we can narrow it down to it's a male.
It's so, and the other thing too is when we put up the we put up a post on social media to tease people about this, and the graphics department, they just put up an outline of a person, and a lot of people were thinking, like, based on the build, like, who is this person? I'm like, nah, that's just a graphic from a program called Canva. That doesn't describe, or that doesn't accurately describe, you know, who this guy is. He looks different these days. He's looking good though.
You know who
that's not it.
You know who I thought that looked like in the silhouette? Isn't it called the silhouette?
This is silhouette.
Look like Andre Agassi. And I'm like, there's no way it's Andre Agassi.
No, it's not. So we got a free agent signing coming up after 5. This is going to be awesome. He's doing the sports cage. I'll call it the family. He's part of our team, and you're really going to love this. And then also, too, another free agent signing. This one's kind of like last minute. This is not under the radar, though, and he's going to join us in about an hour's time. From Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, you may know him as also a writer for the Sun newspaper networks when newspapers were a thing. Eric Francis is going to be part of the show going forward from now until the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's 4 o'clock, Eric Francis. We can ask him anything we want about hockey. That guy's got it all covered.
Okay, and so here's the other thing, too, is I am not golf guy, but he is golf guy, and Eric and I have known each other for a long time, so when he's like, me and 8 guys, we went to Europe, and we went to this golf course, and that golf course, and they documented all, I have zero interest following those stories, but I know you 100% love that stuff.
We are going to get along just fine if we can talk some, I want to talk about Scottie Scheffler with him, who just won the RBC, finished this morning, so we'll get into that. Also on the program today, along with the free agent, the hoopla surrounding that, it is the Eastern Final in the Western Hockey League. It's set. The Moose Jaw Warriors, the Saskatoon Blades. Maz, I was exhausted on Friday, but I said, I got to go watch this guy. I got to go watch Moose Jaw Swift Current. So Romes and I loaded up the family truckster, and we headed to Moose Jaw. And talk about a good hockey game. Game 5, Moose Jaw wins. Swift Current could have easily won that hockey game. Reed Dick in net played so well early, and then they just didn't get the bounces when they needed it to force a game 6. But Moose Jaw's a really good hockey. Matejchuk on the back end. He looks like the WHL version when he's playing. He's small. He's not as big. He looks like Cale Makar. You know how Cale Makar can rush up the ice from the D? Scott Niedermayer did this a lot too, right?
Yes.
Rush up the ice. He's behind the opposing goalie. And then before you know it, he's back breaking up a 2-on-1. Like he's phenomenal. And their first line was so good. Swift Current, Connor Geeky had to feel for that guy and some of those Broncos. They played so hard and they played so much. They just wanted to get it back to Swift for another game. Didn't work out. So we're going to preview this all week. It's Saskatoon Moose Jaw. Joining us in about 40 minutes time is voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors, James Gallo. Then, as you mentioned, in hour 2, Eric Francis going to hop on.
And then our big free agent signing. So the Moose Jaw, I lived in Moose Jaw for 4 years, and it was the early 90s, and they were not a great hockey team then. They were coached by Al Tour and Len Nielsen, and they were starting to get it together, and they had Ryan Smith in there. So when I see this now, whenever I see the highlights on, you know, the Furkus Circus and stuff like that, I'm like, if you've ever lived in Moose Jaw, you'll always have a soft spot for Moose Jaw. Steak Moms and, we got steak nights every night, and but I can't go against my Saskatoon Blades. The one team that they've never won a Memorial Cup. They're one of the oldest teams in the Western Hockey League, in the Canadian Hockey League, and the big goose egg and the zero. Will this be the year they can finally get over the hump as far as just the Eastern Conference Championship, let alone the Western Hockey League Championship?
I am wearing a Moose Jaw Warriors shirt today, given to me by a general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors a few months ago. We did a little trade deal. I traded a Nooner shirt for a Moose Jaw shirt, and I wore this over in Europe. It was amazing how many people came up to me, Moose Jaw, what, because of the movie Slapshot, right? If you know hockey and you know that. But I'm torn here. Knowing Rip and then knowing Hilty and Wasey and Lester and all those guys in Saskatoon, all I know is I was in Saskatoon this weekend. Little birthday party action for my 1-year-old nephew, Franklin. He had his Blade jersey on. And the hype is getting real because there was a contingent of about 6-7 family members. One of them was going on today to get seats. Lower bowl's done. That's done a long time ago. So now you Sask Place or SaskTel Center or whatever the heck it's called now. They might
it'll
as well
always be It'll always be SaskPlace.
Yeah,
to me.
They might as well
never be nothing. But
they might as well fold up that curtain until next year because they're putting people in that upper deck. So we're going to preview that all week. Like I said, hey, you know what else is coming up in hour two? Recently retired with the Seattle Seahawks, Regina boy John Ryan is going to join us to talk about retiring as a Seattle Seahawk. And hey, we ought to give people an update. As we talked about, the Esso Cup is going on right now in Vernon, British Columbia. The Regina Rebels lost their first game yesterday in overtime, 7-6, to the North York Storm. But the ladies bounce back in a huge way today, and they lay a licking on Quebec, 7-1. So we'll go through that in a bit, little summary, give you who the player of the games were, and just a whole lot of NHL talk. SJHL talk. We're going to get to that. It's just a full, it's a full show.
Whatever you guys want to talk about as well, Capital Ford Lincoln text line. You can text 306-936-6262. Capital Ford Lincoln, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer, capitalfordlincoln.com. We'll take a break and be back. More Sports Cage after this.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620-CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. It is the Sports Cage for the Kenniston Super Draft today. Deadline 6 p.m. tonight. Maz with me. We have breaking news at 3:21 on this Monday from the city of Buffalo, Maz.
I don't get it. When you've got guys like who's the coach of Denver that just won the Frozen Four with the Pioneers? Okay, but anyways, we'll Google that. Colson, Google that guy. So that would be a good up-and-coming coach because he's won multiple Frozen Fours. There's a lot of good young coaches in the NHL. But sometimes, like the CFL, the NHL likes to recycle. Breaking news, get this, the Buffalo Sabres have just rehired Lindy Ruff as their head coach. Why? Why? You have all of that talent, and you're going to... Lindy, oh, man.
There's a lot of funny stuff already on the social known as X. Yeah. They underachieved this year. Like,
sure they did.
Like things need to happen in Buffalo next season. Like, it's do or die country. I mean, like, Devin Levi, the goalie, back in the AHL. Ugh, I don't know. Recycle is a really good term. Really good term. We get it. He had a good run there. But yeah.
But then the game changed. The game moved on. He had some success in the Devils. I think last year they overachieved, but this year they underachieved, and then they end up firing Lindy Ruff. Now, if he would have stayed, would they have made the playoffs? Probably not. But you didn't even give it a chance to go out there and find. Did we Google who the coach
David,
of the Denver...
David Carl.
Yeah. David Carl. So the dude is a stud. He's winning Frozen Fours. And keep in mind, the turnover in college hockey, I mean, the NIL pay and whatever they're still doing under the table is probably good there, too. But you've got guys like that. You've got all those guys that are just grinding in the A. And you go back to... If you are a Sabres fan, and I don't know many Sabres fans, and you just threw your hands up in the air and you're going to light your jersey on fire and video it and put it on social media, I don't blame you, because I don't think that this is the answer. But this is still the Pegula family, right? Like, they own the Bills and they own the Sabres, right?
Yeah.
Is this Terry Pegula being... He's Jerry Jones. He's the Jerry Jones of the NHL. He's playing ultimate guide to success, and it never works. It never works.
David Carl from Alaska, drafted 203rd overall by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Didn't really have much of a NHL career, but he's doing good things. Now, here's the question. Does a guy that he's only 34 years old. Isn't that something else? 34 years old, you play on weekends, you play a short schedule, and you win in national championships. Maybe does he ride that out for another 5-6 years before he goes into the absolute grind that is pro hockey?
Probably, because if he gets paid well, and probably if he's making NHL coach type money, and in American college, people are like, that's not, no, they can pay what want to pay, because success like that, winning national championship. So keep in mind, a Frozen Four, a national championship in Denver for hockey, is like Alabama winning in football. They all have their things they really want to be good at, and they will pay through the nose for it. So I don't blame. Exactly, you answer to nobody. You have your pick of players. Guys are fighting to come there. You call all the shots. Once you get into the NHL, it's egos, it's money, it's the GM doing this, and you want to do that.
You're not, you're right. You're grinding. You're not working out. You're eating at midnight. You're watching tape till 2 a.m. You're getting up. You start getting fat. Like, it's just what happens. And it's like you see it with NFL coaches that come from college. Like, they just look like they age 10 years in the span of a year. So maybe, I don't know. I'm sure there's other, like, minor league is littered with young, good hockey coaches. But going back to Lindy Ruff, desperation move.
I would say so. So if you're just joining the Sports Cage, the breaking news, and it's funny watching Twitter timeline fill up, just boom. Lindy Ruff has been rehired by the Buffalo Sabres. He's the all-time wins leader in that club, 571, and playoff wins 57. He's fifth all-time in NHL history at 864 wins. So I guess that's not bad. But with all of those young players, I don't know what to say. So if you have something to say about this, you can always text us, Capital Ford Lincoln text line, 306-936-6262.
Speaking of coaches that might get a look and a level up, before we get into the NHL, I got to mention Trevor Blevins from the Melfort Mustangs. SJHL final series. They go into Flin Flon, the Whitney Forum. Not an easy place to play. I had Blevs on the show last week. Melfort goes in. Game one, Friday night. Absolutely electric atmosphere. Throwing things at them. Swearing at them. Melfort wins 9-2. Then they bounce back Saturday night with a 4-1 win. And they had a five-minute major to kill off at one point. And we got to give a plug here. And you know what? We'll save it for our clutch performer. We're going to give our clutch performer to a member of the Melfort Mustangs in a bit. Kate, you wanted to get to NHL. Since we're on the Lindy Ruff thing, let's keep it. It all started on Saturday afternoon with the Islanders Hurricanes. Islanders were right in that game. Did they have scoring chances?
So the final score, 3-1. If this goes 5, 6, or 7 games, that's every game that it's going to be. It's never going to be 7-6. Speaking of a grind fest, and nothing wrong, I love Patrick Waugh. I like the crazy. I don't like the refined version, the shaven. I want crazy Patrick Waugh that's ready to jump over glass and fight guys. The Hurricanes are good, but here's the thing. The Hurricanes are always usually pretty good in the first and second round. And then what comes always back to bite them? Suspect goaltending. Didn't show up on Saturday. 3-1.
Frederick Anderson's he stopped 33 of 34 shots. A lot of them were point blank. I give the Islanders a lot of credit in that game. I didn't expect them to come out of the gate. I was thinking of a spread there, maybe of a 3 or 4 for the Hurricanes. So you're saying it's going to be a tight series. So it starts on Saturday with a little parlay action. I take the money line. Hurricanes and Bruins.
Oh.
Okay. 2 units. On a money line. Then the Bruins host the Maple Leafs. And all Leaf fan. I love being around a Leaf fan during playoffs. A Leaf fan and an Oiler fan. There's nothing better for entertainment.
Well, they just get decimated. And we were having this argument last week at the office. Regular season hockey, everybody knows it's out the window. And yes, Austin Matthews, hey, if you can score 69 goals in any league, that's awesome. But it's video game hockey in the regular season. And then the playoffs start. And then for whatever reason, the Bruins just know, how to dial it in. And for whatever reason, the Leafs, they just, it just shows instantly they don't have the lineup that is going to go. This is where when Eric Francis, if you're just joining the show, Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, he's going to be on with us after 4 o'clock, and he's going to be with us all the way through till the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm going to ask him, who fills up your Twitter DMs faster and filthier, Oiler fans or Leaf fans, when you piss them off and tell them how bad their team is, when you drop knowledge that they're not that good? Boston looked good in that game. They looked really good.
They well did. Put,
and Jeremy Swayman, I think they made the right move in net there, and hopefully they'll go back to him in game two because they've been rotating and stuff like that. But the Bruins just look solid, top to bottom.
Ilya Samsonov, only 19 saves. I feel sorry for Ryan Reeves. He goes on
why
the
was
ice.
He on the ice? That first goal, why? Because on Twitter, well, I was like, why is Ryan Reeves on the ice?
You watched that clip, and I watched it a number of times. I felt bad for him. He kind of jumped up there. He shouldn't have. He goes to make that hit, exposes them to a two-on-one. But the Bruins move the puck so fast. Up, they get up the ice, and then the pass over for the goal is a really nice goal. I'm like, and then right away, Twitter. Oh, Ryan Reeves is just getting lambasted. So I felt sorry for the guy. It just Toronto's not that good.
Okay, but here, I get it. So I get it. He's on the ice. It's the first period, first game, trying to make something happen.
He got an assist. Then,
I know, but then they keep playing him. So I got on good authority today from a guy who's like, Maz, do you have time to go for lunch? And I'm like, no. I'm at the Apple store getting my phone fit. I do not have time. So we chatted, and he's like an IHL, AHL, cup of coffee NHL guy who is in tight with a lot of people. And they were told before the season, if the Leafs do not make the second round, everybody in the coaching staff's getting fired. Have that on good authority in the Toyota today. That's what I was saying. And I thought of that yesterday. The Sheldon Keefe watch is on, because if they don't win, there's no rationale as to why you would stick with them. What would change going forward? You've got all those guys locked in. Nothing will change. Well, the makeup of the team is wrong, but that's a Brad Treliving beauty as far as, oh, you got a few, but some of the wrong pieces? All right. So 5-1, game two tonight, and that's going to be the early face-off, and that'll go at 5. Panthers-Lightning, I didn't see much of this game.
I did.
I like the Panthers.
Saskatchewan, if you want to chime in here, feel free. Capital Ford Lincoln text line 936-6262. What did you think about the opening weekend of the playoffs? Okay, let me get back to this riding high after I hit that parlay Saturday. Okay. Nephew, niece's husband's, you're like, wow, yeah, you got, oh, that's nice. Wow, that's a nice win. So I go into Sunday, right? And I'm like, Panthers, Lightning. Didn't really touch it. I think I played a goal score. I think I played Braden Point to score a goal in that game. That's what I played. But that game, Tampa Bay is so interesting to watch because it reminds me of a really good peewee or bantam team or senior hockey team that got like one really good line. And then there's a bunch of other guys. But They were right in. And Vasilevskiy can be such a difference maker. He's humongous, for starters. And I thought, you know what? The Panthers were the better team. But a 3-2 game, right? Like, the Lightning are right there.
So, here's the thing. Because the Lightning were so good for so long, and now it's kind of like on the decline of that team, where I'm like, I feel bad. I love John Cooper. How can you not love a guy that went to Notre Dame? He just seems like an awesome dude, but it's funny. It's one of those things where they just keep losing all their good players. And like I said, you know, they Cooch and, you know, Braden Point and all that. I just don't think that they have the firepower anymore. And I think it's if one team in Florida is on the rise and one's on the decline, I think it's the Panthers. And I don't mind the Panthers. I don't mind Matthew. I like Matthew Tkachuk way more as a Florida Panther than I ever did as a Calgary Flame.
The only thing that can keep the Lightning in this series is their power play. And a lot of NHL teams, I know this, it's like, hey, Shank, yeah, they're in the NHL. But Tampa Bay's power play is filthy. And they set up Stamkos there late in the game to tie it up, and he just missed on a one-timer. And then it's a tie hockey game there right? So Tampa Bay, they need to score that PP. I think
that's the difference. 3-4 years ago, those were the breaks that Tampa was getting. That goal goes in. That shot goes in, and they go on and they win. Now, sometimes the bounces, they don't necessarily go their way. And the other thing, too, is the Panthers as well, with Bobrovsky in net. Who knows? In game two, it could be 7-5 Tampa, because Bobrovsky could just turn into Bobrovsky. You just never know. I like them both, but I like the Florida Panthers. I would love to see them like ascend and do something again.
He'll channel his inner Brzgalov. Man, that guy was a nut bar. So the series that I find that no one cares about the most is the Rangers Capitals.
Well, everybody just assumes the Rangers are going to win. And the Capitals don't even have a chance.
And they hammered them. Like, there was a clip on social media of Alexander Ovechkin standing right beside the post, and he doesn't move for 20 seconds. 20 seconds, didn't move. Like, yeah, I think I would have liked to see the Flyers or the Red Wings in here, personally. No disrespect to Ross Mahoney from Regina, assistant general manager of the Capitals, but... Yeah. Are the Rangers that good? I don't know what I missed this year. Like, everyone is saying they are cup bound. I think Sharky even said that. I watched him play a bit, but...
I don't think if you read any of the so-called experts, I don't think there's anybody that even gave the Capitals a chance of winning.
No.
Like one game, let alone a chance at winning this series. It was 4-1. The best part is first goal of the series. Because some people thought, well, much like the Ryan Reeves thing, do you play your heavies and your fighters? Matt Rempe, first goal, dub guy, got the first goal of the game, which is awesome. It's all about Matt Rempe now. I love this. Like, what a debut. And now the world, and obviously Madison Square Garden, that crowd, they'll never not be in love with that guy.
I like how they call it the Rempire state of mind, right? No, and him and Jimmy VC, that line was unbelievable for the Rangers. Like, VC had 1-1. Rempe had the goal. Perfect start to the series. Yeah, the Rangers might absolutely mop the Caps, and it could be a 4.
That could be done in 4 straight. And for some people being, hey, yeah, Rempe played in the dub. Don't forget he played in the AJHL as well. Just another good Western Canadian. It's funny, all the good Western Canadian guys coming through when it matters the most.
Bottle drives. He knows. He knows what it's about. That's like when Roman played with these kids from the States a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, hey, you guys ever go on bottle drives? And all the parents looked at me like I was from another planet.
They're like, we're rich. That's why we do travel hockey.
We have access to private jets.
Yeah, just to be like, who brought these two along? And hey, bottle and can guy, this is America. We don't recycle. Okay, that's the best part of being in the States. When you go somewhere, they just throw recycling in the garbage. And I'm always like, I would get arrested back home in the country we live in with the people running it. But you just throw recycling in the garbage. And that is the best.
Okay, we got Eddie Colson saying we got to take a break. We're going to have to get to the other ones after the break, because I got to really chuck myself under the bus with coming in high after that parlay win. Oh, did things take a sharp turn yesterday, like embarrassmentville. It is the sports game.
Did you bet the under and take the Avalanche for the win?
That's
or
exactly.
Yeah, with the shutout? Oh, my God.
That's what I did, and it ended up being a
you
football
You let in seven
score.
Goals on 23 shots. That's awful.
It ended up being a football score, and I took the under. I'm embarrassed. Hey, Saskatchewan, it is the brand new sports cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
I love it. Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Inside the Sports Cage, Barney Shinkaruk and Chris Masaryk here. Text lines heating up. I like what Mike has to say. Where's Austin Matthews? Maybe he should leave his purse in the dressing room. Oh, classic, Mike. Yeah, no, where was? You know what? Guy's unreal, though. I just don't think he's got enough. enough around him to make it happen.
He doesn't have enough around him, and it's got to be frustrating. I get it. You got to get paid as much as you possibly can. Your career is short, but at some point, you probably want to win, and it's not going to be in the next couple years. As we were chatting earlier about NHL, the gun good authority on a phone call today, they were told at the start of the season, and this isn't breaking news. Leafs don't get past the first round. Coaching staff, complete done and gone makeover.
I thought that was going to happen last year.
I know. I do. Like you said, and to anybody listening, yeah, it's a matter of time before they fire anybody. Eric Francis, who's going to join the Sports Cage Mondays and Wednesdays until they hand out the Stanley Cup, he'll be on with us right after 4 o'clock. I want to get his take on this because he was close to Treliving.
Yeah.
He knows a lot of the ins and outs, and it'll be interesting to see and to spill the tea as far as if they actually even had a legitimate shot against Boston, because that's a tough first-round matchup.
I can't wait to ask him, too, on the breaking news that the Buffalo Sabres hire old man Ruff. Lindy Ruff is back with the Buffalo Sabres for some apparent reason. So we'll get his take on that. Let's go out on the Western Pizza Hotline, sorry. Always a good, especially in playoffs. Oh, is it ever a good night for Westerns? Crushed a whole wheel myself Friday night and Saturday on the way to Moose Jaw with Roman. He didn't need any because there was mushrooms on it. Always perfect. Generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, and salad. The goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza tonight. James Gallo in said Moose Jaw. The play-by-play voice of the Warriors is on the line. James, finally got a chance to get to a game of Moose Jaw with my eyeballs. I saw Swift Current. I saw Moose Jaw. And to use the old and the overused adage, it's too bad one of those teams had to lose.
Yeah, great series. You know, five games of hard hockey, I thought. Really entertaining. I thought both fan bases got a treat through five games. You're right, Shakes. I mean, it's too bad that, you know, maybe that wasn't the Eastern Conference final, right? I mean, it was that good through five games. But, yeah, it was hard. Unfortunately, someone's going to lose and someone's going to win. And fortunately enough, it was the Moose Jaw Warriors on that night.
Anyone that was there, Reed Dick, especially early, some of those saves he made in net for Swift, and then Jackson Unger late for Moose Jaw. It was a goaltending display.
Yeah, it's kind of the way the series was. You know, the toss games 1 and 2 out the door, both teams winning by scores of 7-2. You know, 3, 4, 5, I think there was times where there was goals that both goalies would want back. I hate using that phrase, but I think it's true. But then there was times where both teams had legitimate 5-bell opportunities only to be tossed away from the goaltenders. And, you know, I think Jackson Unger for the Warriors and Reed Dick for the Broncos, you know, they put on a good show. And it was really entertaining. I mean, two all-star goaltenders. You know, Reed Dick obviously drafted by the Boston Bruins. Jackson Unger hopefully to get selected this year. But, you know, it was a good outing. It was a hard fought by those goaltenders. And those are the guys I think sometimes when the lineup, when you shake hands, those are the guys I always pin out because they're in the spotlight for every shift in every period and every play. And they're the guys that probably take the most heat. And I thought both guys did a really good job for the teams.
Hey, James Mass here. Game one, Moose Jaw at Saskatoon, Friday at 7, SaskTel Center. It'll always be known to Sask Place as me. Here's the thing. Are either of these teams going to have to play defense? Because if you go back to the regular season, you look at some stuff in the playoffs, can everybody outscore their problems in these series? Because sometimes that it's not defense first. And I don't think I'm wrong when you just look at the highlights and some of these highlight goals that get scored. Sometimes it's just there's not a lot of D zone presence there at times.
I think it's one of those things when you compare the conference finals, you know, you got Prince George and Portland on the west, and you got Moose Jaw and Saskatoon here in the east. And Portland and Prince George has the capabilities to be just a track meet for seven games, right? Up and down, could be a combined 12 goals every night. I think with Moose Jaw and Saskatoon in the regular season series, yeah, there's been some games where it got a little bit out of the hand in terms of the goals, but I think there's a little more structure on this side. I think, you know, Moose Jaw likes to play with a little more structure. The neutral zone is going to be so key, right? I think for the Warriors to come up clean, I think for the Blades to try and limit their turnovers, because, you know, Maz, the thing is that these players are so good now, when you make a neutral zone turnover, it's an odd man rush with short ice the other way, and you know, most times these guys are going to capitalize, especially when you're talking about these elite players like Jagr Furkus and Braden Jagr and Igor Sidorov and Trevor Wong. They're that good. You have to really limit your mistakes, because they will burn you. But it's mistakes that make junior hockey exciting.
That Jagr Furkus, that guy can score from anywhere on the ice. Like, every new highlight, I'm like, he's below the goal line. He's behind the goalie, and somehow he's putting it. Have you ever seen anybody in the Western Hockey League that could score from pretty much anywhere on the ice at will like he does?
You know, in my time with the Moose Jaw Warriors, I could probably say top three for sure for being most creative. Right? I mean, I think he's a threat to shoot from anywhere. He's got a real deceptive shot. He knows how to hide it. It's really fun to watch. And the wheels are always turning upstairs, right? And, you know, whether he's below goal line, like you said, you know, on the wall, wherever he is, the wheels are always in motion with him. And watch his shot. It's quick. It can be very deceiving. And, you know, again, you know, when you talk about the playoffs, no Moose Jaw Warrior has scored more goals in the playoffs than Jagr Furkus has in history. So yeah. The guy can find the back of the net, and he's going to have to find it a little bit more against a tough Saskatoon team.
Another guy that things are always moving upstairs is Sidorov from the Blades. Like, what this guy pulls on the ice. Like I said to Hilty on Friday, I watched him play because my daughter wants to go to every Pats game. So I watched him play last year, and I'm like, yeah, this 19 for the Blades, pretty good. Then I went and watched him play this year, and I'm like, okay, well, this isn't even fair. Like, it's like a road hockey game. And then he's doing these things in the playoffs, putting it in between his legs, off the backboards, right? Like, that special player. And to Maz's point, I'm looking forward to a little bit of a track meet here, just fire wagon hockey.
Yeah, fans are like that. Coaches and broadcasters, maybe not so much, right? like Igor Sidorov, too. I mean, he's creative. I think he's a guy that, you know, when he's feeling good and he's confident in his game, look out. Like, I've seen him score some goals. There was a game earlier this season where Moose Jaw won 9-6 here at the Moose Jaw Event Center. And, you know, Sidorov had a hat trick. I believe Furkus had a hat trick that night. And they're just shooting from all angles. And those are guys that are going to be in the spotlight for their teams when this conference final gets underway. They have to be, right? Your best players need to be your best players in the biggest games of the year. That's starting Friday for Moose Jaw.
Maz, it's like the old shinny days when the lights were a little bit dim at King George School and he just fired the spongy from anywhere because the goalie couldn't see it. That's what it's like.
Hey, I love playing net. I took pride in when you'd come up with the big save. So, James, here's the thing. And we were talking about before you got on. Like, I'm old school Moose Jaw. So my Moose Jaw Warrior days were the Al Tour, Len Nielsen, Rob Karn. Karns, if you're listening, Karns is in the broadcast booth. Beauty. You were smoking in the post-game show downstairs, drinking. It was awesome. And then you'd go to the Royal Hotel to celebrate. Hopefully, there could have been a few more wins, usually a lot of losses. After the game's down in Moose Jaw, since the Royal is long gone, where does the Moose Jaw Warrior broadcast team go to celebrate a big dub these days?
Well, you know, Maz, like, I lived with Karns for 5 years, so I know all those stories.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I bartended at his first wedding in his backyard. He said the party was great, the marriage not so much. I'm not speaking out of school. He said that. He quoted that. Okay?
That's total Karns. I lived with Karns. Karns brought me to Moose Jaw 24 years ago. So,
oh my God.
I lived with Karns for 5 years. So I learned a lot from old man Carney. I love my days with Karns. But I tell you what, times have changed. You know, win or lose, I think the best place to be is at home, because that's where you can't get in trouble.
No, bad answer.
Easiest way to go.
Bad answer.
I'm too old, and I got kids, right? So I have a good reputation in the city right now.
So the guy that used to run the Royal Hotel, I don't know if I've told this story on the show before. His name was Eddie Amar. He was a marketing genius. He was ahead of his time. So the Warriors weren't great, and it was a Saturday night, and the promotion was, with every ticket stub, you would get a free drink. So after the game, me, my old roommate Craig, Steve, and anybody else, we're all poor. We walking around like a lot of other people, picking up as many ticket stubs off the ground as we possibly could, and then you go down to the Royal Hotel, and it was just free drink after free drink. I think they only did it once, but God, it was the best. You would have thought it was Mardi Gras in Moose Jaw that night, because everybody was drinking for free.
You know, I've had the chauffeur Steve and Craig back from Rider Games, so that story does not surprise me one bit at all.
Okay, so we're back. They're back. What is it, Tuesday, Wednesday next week in the Jaw?
Yeah.
At what point do we have a sellout here? Like it's going to be standing room. That's going to sell out. When do you figure that people will be able to get tickets up until, or what's the deal right now?
You know, I think it's a couple of days, right? I think the one thing that people have to understand is that, you know, there's always going to be tickets that come open because you have to reserve an X amount for the opposition.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be some tickets that are going to float open a little bit. The same thing happened last round. So I would be suggesting, you know, don't wait till then. Get your ticket now. We're trending towards sellouts. Both, I think we're sitting around 3,500 for both Tuesday, Wednesdays, game 3 and 4. Those will get, you know, fewer and fewer in the next couple of days. It's going to be great. It's fun. It's only the third time in franchise history. I've been there for all three now. It's an electrifying time of year. And, you know, Moose Jaw does a great job, you know, in these big games, giving the players some great atmosphere. Talking to the guys this morning, they thought it was awesome, right? They thought it was something that some guys have never seen before or experienced before. And I think the fans in Moose Jaw have just done a great job, and expecting more of the same next week.
All right, James, before we let you go, we got to get something out of you. Do the Leafs make it out of the first round against the Bruins?
Oh, you know, it's my heart says yes, because I love Morgan Riley so much. Oh. I love Morgan to death, and I would love for him to experience a long run, but my head says no. It's tough. There's something about that Maple Leaf team where, you know, you get such great bonuses in the regular season. That's what you get paid for. You get paid for your regular season. Playoffs is just, it's free money, right? You just get paid per round when you get advances. And I don't know. I know Leafs Nation is probably going to hound me on this one. I know a lot of big Leaf fans, but I just can't see it. And I wish I did, because I love Morgan Riley so much.
All right, Gallo, go rest. The big one coming up starting Friday in Saskatoon. Thanks for hopping on, my man.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
That's James Gallo, voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors on the Western Pizza Hotline. Time for a break. You're listening to the brand new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Hey, thanks for being part of the show this afternoon. It's our big free agent signing. We'll announce after 5 o'clock. We've been teasing it since Friday. There's a new member of the Sports Cage team that's going to be joining on. It's Maz McFly, Barney Shinkruk. And coming up after 4, John Ryan will be on to talk about his retirement from football. He was a Packer, a longtime Seahawk, and he was a Rider. Remember that punt? What was it? 60, 70 yards? That was a beauty. But coming up next, right after the 4 o'clock news, we'll say hello to a guy that needs no introduction when it comes to the NHL and hockey. Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada joining the Sports Cage team. We'll do that. And hey, if you want to be part of the show, as always, we love what you're talking about too. Capital Ford Lincoln text line. Text 306-936-6262. Capital Ford Lincoln, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer. CapitalFordLincoln.com. Sports Cage continues after this.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Hey, thanks for being part of the show this afternoon. It's Maz McFly, Barney Shinkarek. You can be part of what we're doing here on the all-new Sports Cage. Capital Ford Lincoln text line, text 306-936-6262. Capital Ford Lincoln, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer, capitalfordlincoln.com. And in an hour's time, our major free agent signing announcement. You're going to like who we've added to the Sports Cage, but we've also added somebody to the Sports Cage earlier this afternoon, as it all came together nicely. You may know, so I'll tell the story how I know. So you may know him as an analyst on Calgary Flames hockey. You may know him from Hockey Night in Canada. You may know him as a writer for, he wrote for the Calgary Sun and the Sun Network for a long, long time. When I met him back in 1999 at Cowboys Nightclub in Calgary, Eric, I don't know if you remember this. You had frosted tips. I had frosted tips. Everybody had frosted tips. You still have hair and I don't. You could still rock the frosted tips if you wanted. Welcome to the Sports Cage, bud. It's good to have you on. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. I don't know of this Cowboys nightclub you speak of. I've never been there. I've heard about it. Heard many, many things about it. But okay, that was me with the frosted tips. Sure, exactly. But I don't rock them anymore. That's, thank God for that.
Hey, Eric, Barney Shinkarek here. We'll be talking a lot over the next little bit. I got a funny feeling Maz was mini pitcher paralyzer guy. Everyone else is drinking Ryan Cokes and Maz is like, you know what, I'm going to get a paralyzer mini pitcher, please.
Well, he was there a lot on draft night. That was Thursday night. It was 25 cents a draft. And he's the only guy that I remember being there and asking for change when they paid.
Good one.
Okay, so keep in mind. So you're on the radio in Saskatchewan, and Barney, immediately it went Rye Coke. But if I remember correctly, Eric, you're a rum and Coke guy, correct?
But it's I am a one-trick pony. I drink one thing in this world, and it's rum and Coke. I drink plenty of it, and I wish I could drink other things. I'd be more sophisticated, you know, like your paralyzers, but no, it's just rum and Coke for me. So I got a soft spot in my heart. I was a rye and ginger guy in university, but I saw the light and went to the rum, yeah.
I told Barney before we got on, I said, yeah, no, Eric's one of those guys where he gets together like eight friends and you go to Europe to a golf course and you put it all on social media. And I'm like, I have zero interest in that. And then Barney perked up. All right, let's get into this, the NHL. The first, let's go back to, hey, sorry. I mean, I follow you, but no, I have zero interest. I don't care where you were playing in Ireland. It doesn't matter. I have zero interest in that.
If my wife's listening right now, Eric, like I've done so many, she calls in quotation marks, once in a lifetime trips, Scotland, Bethpage, Pebble. So she's listening right now. Her teeth are grinding as we speak.
I did Cabo just a couple weeks ago. Yeah, those are good trips. Like, you know what? I it's funny you say that, Maz, too, about the posting about that. Like, I think I have strict rules about posting on holiday. Like, I go on holiday a lot, and I don't, you'll never see me post like, hey, look at me, I'm on a holiday. Like, there's no quicker way for me to unfollow you than for you to post about your holiday. I could care less for people holiday, but as an avid golfer, I do post where I'm golfing, and I don't think it's the same. Like, I really don't. Like, it's just golf porn is what it is. It's beautiful photos of some of the greatest courses in the world, and I don't get sick of that, and I don't make apologies for that, but it's not, hey, look where I am. It's, hey, look how beautiful this place is. That's the way I justify it anyway.
People will paint whatever picture they want on that. I'm in the same boat, man. Hey, before we get into hockey talk, though, how about Scottie Scheffler? Like, he goes out and wins the RBC today. And wasn't his, like, wife pregnant during the Masters? Did he just make the call to be like, hey, on the way home, I'm going to stop and play the RBC. Are you okay with that? Like, I thought his wife was ready to pop.
Yes, she is, and he always said, even through the Masters, if she pops, I'm out of here. And we'd heard that so many times with Phil Mickelson over these years and other guys. They vow that it's going to happen. But, you know, it's kind of like the ordinary guys like us who our wife's pregnant, and on the way home, she says, oh, my God, can you please pick me up a peanut butter blizzard or pickles or whatever the craving is? he says, hey, honey, on my way home, I'm going to stop the jet for just 4 or 5 days, pick up another $2.5 million, and I'll be right home after that. No big deal.
God, my wife gets mad if I don't text her back within a half hour. I can't imagine me like, I'm going to take a 5-day detour and go play another golf tournament. Good luck with having our first child. I hope your mom's around.
He walks into the house, even though he won. If it's anything like everyone else, it's going to be like, yeah, well, I hope he had fun. He's going to get that one.
Yeah.
He's going to get that. Okay, let's get on to NHL. Let's get on to the playoffs here. Edmonton, 2 rounds and done. Can we just start there? That's what I'm thinking in all my playoff drafts. I'm taking some Oilers because I think the Oilers go 2 rounds and then you can just absolutely hear the heartbreaks everywhere.
Well, here's the thing about playoff hockey, and we've already seen it brilliantly illustrated in the first couple nights. If you don't have a goalie, you got no hope. And I'm not saying, well, I guess I'm saying, like, Stuart Skinner needs to prove to me, and it's not just the goalie, it's the defense too, right? Like, it's, and those are the two biggest question marks for the Oilers for 10 years. And same with the Leafs. And you know, we saw it to a degree with Colorado last night. I'm not saying they don't have defense. They got the best defenseman in the world in Cale Makar. But if you don't have a goalie, you don't have a chance. And I need to see Stuart Skinner prove it. He had a hell of a year this year. His numbers are a whole lot better than anyone would have dreamt. But I need him to prove it in the playoffs that he can be the difference maker. So I'm not sure I'm going to sit here and say they're done in 2 rounds. I'm not even sure they're going to get through 1 round.
Whoa. So that leads me. Okay, so here, we'll get into all the games. Who fills up your Twitter DMs faster, angry Oiler fans or angry Leaf fans, when you come and say something or you write something or you post something? Because they're not silent. I know that much.
You know what? I can't answer that question because I don't read the comments. And I definitely don't have that open. Like, people can't DM me. I'm not big on social media. I mean, I got my Twitter handle and all that, and I contribute to it. But I don't read the DM. Like, no one could DM me. I guess I disarmed that somehow. And I definitely don't read the comments. So I don't really know who's the angriest. But I can tell you that the only fan base that over the years has, like, issued death threats. And I've been made aware by, like, lawyers and friends and colleagues, like, be careful when treading foot in B.C. It's Vancouver fans. Like, they're the most vitriolic by miles. And so I'm a little leery of ripping into the Canucks ever, because that fan base is, you know,
really
a little different than the others.
Really?
It's a little over the top, yeah.
That baffles me.
I wouldn't have pegged the Canucks fans as potential murderers. Oiler fans, yes.
Yeah.
Ryder fans, yeah, okay, if it's a bad.
Yeah.
And then let's see, what do we have? And then obviously Leaf fans being delusional, but Canuck fans, that's surprising.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking, like, you know, what are you going to throw your craft beer at them? Hit them with your satchel. Like, just the Vancouver fans don't.
Am I the
exactly.
One
what are they going to take
2011?
You to? An unheated yoga class or something? Or and they're going to feed you bad kombucha? Like, I don't care.
Let's be clear. Those words were not spoken by Eric French.
That's fine.
How scared I am of Vancouver fans. Yeah, I'm not touching that.
Let's go to that series though, right? Game one last night. Predators give them all they can handle, and then it's two absolutely quick ones. What was it? 12 seconds?
12 seconds apart.
12 seconds apart. So Vancouver escapes, I'll say, with a 1-0 lead. But I predicted it. I took him in a couple of my drafts. I don't think the Predators are an easy out here at all.
Oh, they're the hottest team in hockey the last 2 months. Like, no, I wouldn't say that. And plus, also, you got to remember that it's not like Vancouver's, you know, been lighting up in the playoffs for a while. Like, this is all new territory for them to be even in the playoffs. And so I think this is going to be a heck of a series. And I actually thought, Nashville, you know, they love those close, low-scoring games. When they were up 2-1, I was watching every minute of it. I thought they were going to hold on. And then, boom, boom, it's all over. So, great series that's going to be. Listen, I've said this going into play. I think 14 of the 16 teams in this tournament could win the cup and no one would be totally stunned. Mm-hmm. I'll exclude the Islanders and the Washington Capitals from that list. But other than that, like, tell me a team that could win it. Tell me what another team that would win it and you would be, like, completely shocked. Obviously, some would be bigger upsets than others, but, like, that's the parity we have in the league right now. Like, it's tough to pick every series except for those two.
The great Mike Sillinger always says, and that guy played a lot of NHL hockey and a lot of teams, he says an 8 always beats a 1. And it doesn't always happen, but he's like, especially now with, like you said, the parity in the NHL, but Nashville's been playing playoff hockey for a month and a half. That's why that 8 team always scares me going in. So I'm really intrigued on that series. Let's bounce to, I'm embarrassed. I took the under in the Colorado-Winnipeg game, Eric. What a maroon. Oy, 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 oy. What a shootout. That's like an adult safe C division hockey game. The score. Yeah, that was, the score.
But who's gonna complain, right? Like, we all love that stuff. And I'd be stunned if they thought they could get away with something like that again. Winnipeg, you know, I mean, that's not exactly how they drew it up. So that's a situation where they got away with one, and I like the way they put it. And they certainly did feel like they played not the kind of game they wanted to, but they somehow got away with the win. So let me ask you this: Are you taking the over or the under on game two? Like, I know it's easy to say no, I'm taking the over for sure, but honest to God, like I with Hellebuck and that, I'm not sure.
And Georgiev made 16 saves. Like, what would the action been on that?
Yeah. And we got breaking news. The Colorado Avalanche have recalled goaltender Ivan Prosvetov from the Colorado Eagles, and they've sent Arvid Holm down to the Colorado Eagles. So it looks like it's going to be Georgiev in game two, but you can't, when you're giving up 7 goals on 23 shots. The good thing, Winnipeg can play better defense and Hellebuck can get better. I don't know. If you asked Jared Bednar if there was truth serum there and he's a guy from Saskia and you love him, Jared, what's the one thing that scares you about your hockey team this year? You know that answer has to be goaltending, because it's just like everything else is just so good about that Colorado Avalanche team, but they can't outscore their problems.
He looks over at other Sasky guy Knobloch and says goaltending with a nod, because that is something else. But do they have firepower? Up and down the ice, like. But Winnipeg, yeah, maybe they stumbled down at the end of the year. They're a solid hockey team. And then when I watched that game, and Chevy's a Sasky boy as well, right? You think, yeah, this team could legitimately win the Stanley Cup.
Well, and it's hard to fathom, right? Because we've seen them falter for a kabillion years in Winnipeg and with some pretty good teams. But I like the additions. You know, Sean Monahan is someone I'm obviously pretty familiar with as a former Flame. He just had this incredible resurrection to his career and was, you know, the top center that was available at the trade deadline. And I really like that addition of him and of course Tyler Toffoli. Like, there's some depth there, and there's also some real snipers with, you know, Kyle Connor and Scheifele and, you know, Ehlers. Like, I agree with you. I don't think anybody in the hockey world thought that the Jets were going to be an easy out in this series. It's going to be a fascinating one. Like, by no means do I think Colorado's out of it, or do I think that Georgiev can't get the job done. He had a really bad night. He's had 3 or 4 really bad nights against the Jets this year. That's the concern. And the other concern is they don't have a backup. Their backup is still sick. He's still sick, Anunin. And that's why they're shuffling the deck chairs there with a couple of minor leaguers. That's not going to help them, that's for sure.
Joining us, new free agent to the Sports Cage, Eric Francis on the Western Pizza Hotline. All right, your honest take. We're in Sasky here, because you can shoot from the hip in Sasky. What's your honest take on the Stars Golden Knights series?
I think the Stars are winning the Stanley Cup. And
Eric Francis, Dallas Stars winning the Stanley. I like that. I like that. They're good, but is it their year? Are they due?
Do is not the word I'd use, but I do think that they're the deepest team in the National Hockey League. And I think, and that doesn't necessarily translate into being the team that's going to win it. And it's especially hard when you're playing against the defending champions who win basically based on brawn and depth every year. Now their depth is coming back. Mark Stone's going to play tonight. It's just, it's amazing every year how they just get healthy right at the right time. And, but I think Dallas has that beautiful combination of veterans who are teaching the young guys. Like, you tell me what the sexiest part of that team is, when some guys will say the veterans like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and Roope Hintz. I'll say it's the guys like Wyatt Johnson and Stankoven.
Stankoven.
Guys like, right? There's some exciting youth coming up there. Their defense is crazy, crazy good. Now they've added Chris Tanev, that solid defensive style person. And then, like in Calgary 2 years ago, we saw Ottinger put together one of the best series we've seen in the NHL.
Oh, that was a good series. Oh, man.
Right, it was a great series, and he was just unbelievable. Now, he hasn't returned to that form really since, but we know he's got it in him. So I think that's going to be a great series. The defending champs against the team that I think is going to be the next champ.
The deadline for the Kenniston Super Draft is 6 p.m. tonight. I'm telling you, I took in one of my Kenniston Super Drafts, I'm dead serious, I took every single Carolina Hurricane and every single Dallas Stars. And I forgot to write in Stankoven, though. I'm really pissed at myself. Okay, before we let you go, because Colson said we got to take a break. Lindy Ruff back in Buffalo. Maz and I kind of making fun of it. Why wouldn't they go young there? What's the deal? What's your take on that one, Eric?
Well, from what I understand, the firing of Don Granato was revolving around the fact that the players' feedback and also management kind of looked at it, and they figured that they need someone who's going to be a little tougher on them. Not to say that Granato was a softy, but Granato, they feel like they're ready to take another step where guys are really, some coaches holding them more accountable. Listen, we've seen this in Calgary for so many years. They went from a coach that's too hard to a coach that's too soft. A coach that's too hard to a coach that's too soft. I call it like the Goldilocks hire. You're trying to find someone who's just right in the middle and not too tough and not too soft. So they're familiar with Ruff. It's not the craziest thing to think about it. When you hire someone, there's so many unknowns. But when you hire Ruff, there are a lot of knowns, and they feel like that sort of Ruff approach is exactly what they need. So I don't think it's crazy. I know it seems like it lacks imagination, but I think it makes a lot of sense. This guy been one of the better coaches in the league for the last, 45 years? and I just think it makes sense. So I'm interested to see what he can do. Someone's got to get that talented young team over the hump.
Yeah, it's funny when you bring up all the coaches the Flames had. I always think of Bob Hartley being such a scumbag, and then every story that comes out on every podcast in the past 10 years from former players just backs up what a scumbag he was. Okay, you're going to be back on with us on Wednesday. And they're playing tonight. It's game two. Leafs, Bruins. Are they winning this series, or are you taking the Bruins and we can wrap on this?
I hate to go with the flow, but there's a little bit of history on my side when I suggest the Bruins are going to win this series. I mean, that was even easier than I think even Bruins fans thought the other night. And again, every game is new, and the Flames are licking their wounds. But with William Nylander being questionable, I guess he's going to play tonight, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. Again, they don't have a goaltender. None of the three guys that they could dress over this playoff are capable of stealing a series or even being confident enough to win a series, especially against a juggernaut like Boston. So I'm taking Boston. That's not a surprise. That's not stepping on a limb. But I got to go back. You said Carolina versus Dallas in the final. That's exactly who I have, too.
Hey.
So let's see how wrong we are.
I love it.
That's why you're our guy. It's the debut of Eric Francis on Twitter at Eric Francis from Sportsnet on the all-new Sports Cage. We're going to take a break and come back. John Ryan will join us to talk about retirement. And then just after 5 o'clock, our special guest, the big free agent signing on the all-new Sports Cage. It's 620 CKRM.
Sports Cage is brought to you by Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan, Barney Shinkrook and Chris Mazurek here today. And it is time for our clutch performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park. We have to go to the City of Northern Lights, Melfort. But it was up in Flin Flon on the weekend that Melfort goaltender, like Maz, you didn't really get this, but Melfort rolls into the Whitney Forum in Flin Flon. Not only do they win the first game 9-2, they bounce back Saturday and win game two as well. So they're up 2-0 in the series, and the clutch performer both games, James Venn, in net for the Melfort Mustangs Friday night in that hostile atmosphere, stops 39 shots. And then he bounces back, like I said, on Saturday, 42 saves. So James Venn from the Melfort Mustangs, our clutch performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park.
So on Thursday, the Sports Cage is going to be live with the 55th annual Regina Rams Sports Dinner at the Kinexus Arts Center. We'll be there from 3 until 6, and that'll lead into dinner. Corey Mason, Mark Mueller will be the special guest that night. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. And a former Regina Ram has decided to hang him up. John Ryan, retiring from professional football. We'll have him on the Sports Cage next. Stand by. If you want to be part of the show, you can always get to us on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. You can text us 306-936-6262.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan, on this day for the Keniston Super Draft. The deadline is 6 p.m. tonight to get in your drafts to the world-famous Keniston Super Draft. It's Shank and Maz here, Colson running things. We are going out on the Western Pizza Hotline once again, and we are joined by the only human being from Regina to win the Super Bowl. I think it's safe to say, former NFL punter, CFL punter, and now retired as a Seattle Seahawk, John Ryan. That's what you wanted it to say, right, John? Like, that's pretty cool. Retired as a Seattle Seahawk.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's something that was pretty important to me and pretty special to me that they did that.
So I go back, and Maz and I were just talking here, right? Because I remember, I'm a Saskatoon guy, so I remember when you were playing for Sheldon Williams. You were a few years after me, so you're a little bit younger. And I remember people just talking, like, you got to see this kid in Regina kick the football and all this. And there's this redheaded kid out there. And then sure enough, I watched you play once, and I'm like, well, that's not fair. Like, what is he having that leg of his? But and then Maz and I were talking. The funny thing is, you are a heck of a receiver as well.
I like to think that I was. You know, I just love football, so I want to do anything I could to be on the field as much as I could, and that's how I started punting and kicking, just because, you know, I realized I could be on special teams as well as playing offense, because offense was my first love, and playing receiver, and played receiver 4 years at the University of Regina and absolutely loved it. But when it came to time for pro football, I know my dad kind of talked to me, like, you'd probably tough it out and be a fifth receiver in a CFL team for 4 or 5 years, or you could go on and play punter for the next 15 to 20 years. And luckily I took his advice and it worked out.
Smart man. So what the retirement piece, is it quite the process to we see it all the time with athletes signing the kind of the one day deal so they can retire with the team. Is it quite the process, or was it pretty easy?
It's a bit of a process, just because it actually takes up a roster spot for that day. So we had to do it before the draft. So they have, right now they have 90 roster spots, and then have them all filled. So they're able to get me in before the draft, because I truly was a Seahawk for 24 hours. So just to get kind of the perfect timing with that, kind of took almost a year to try to figure it out with John Schneider. And luckily it all worked out last week, and we were able to do it.
You punted for over 40,000 yards in the NFL. You were a Green Bay Packer, mostly known as a Seattle Seahawk. Pete Carroll, not with the team anymore, not head coach of the team anymore. Is he as fun in person as he looks in the sideline when he's chomping that gum, going up and down, just being the positive guy that he is? Because I want to run through a wall for him, and I'm sitting on a couch watching TV.
Yeah, absolutely. He might be actually more fun in person. You know, some of the things we did behind closed doors, the way he ran that team, there's just so much to be a part of. And I still remember when he got there. I was already in my my seventh year of pro football when he got there. And I just remember him like coming in and shooting baskets and playing music and doing all that stuff. And I was just like, this guy has no clue what he's doing. This isn't college football. This isn't high school football. This is pro football. We don't have fun here. We put our noses down. We work our butts off. And that's how it works. And man, was I wrong. And you know, I admit very quickly within a year or so, I was like, I'm wrong. This is a lot of fun. And it was really the first time I really had a lot of fun playing pro football.
So when you go back, John, let's say, you know, now we're sitting mid-April here. The season doesn't start until September. Like, what was the off-season like for you as a punter? That's one thing I've always wondered about kickers in the off-season. Like, how did you go about the off-season? Was it like, are you kicking balls every day, or do you kind of take some solid time off?
Everyone kind of does it different. I know Shane Leckler is one of the greatest punters in the history of the NFL. And he would not, after the season, he would not punt a football again until he went to training camp.
Wow.
In late July. And, you know, he was very much a rarity for me. Number one, I love to do it. I absolutely love kicking footballs. Number two, I just had to kind of keep in the rhythm all the time. So I took very little, if any, time off from kicking. And definitely from a weightlifting standpoint, I took absolutely no time off. I'd take, you know, literally like 48 hours off after the last game, continue my weightlifting program, because I never wanted to fall behind on that, and especially as the years got older and I was, you know, playing into my 40s as I have to be, you know, I just couldn't have that opportunity to take any time off.
It's funny you mentioned the off-season training program, because you, John, you don't look like a typical punter. You look like you could handle business if you needed to handle business, even with some of the other position players on the team. Because normally, punters and place kickers, not exactly the most intimidating dudes. Did John Ryan ever, did you ever have to threaten to throw hands like you're a kid from Saskatchewan in an NFL situation?
You know, I'm a lover. You know, I don't throw hands, but if it ever needed to happen, I feel pretty confident that I could. But yeah, I always took a lot of pride in that. I was lifting weights with all offseason with the linebackers and the running backs. I always tried to fit in there, and that was just a big part of my game, just staying strong. You know, I'm 6 feet tall, and as a 6 feet tall punter in the NFL, you're pretty much the shortest punter in the league. All these guys are 6'5", 6'6", long levers, so I kind of rely on my strength. So I always really took pride in the weight room, and kind of that's how I got my strength of putting balls.
Regina boy John Ryan joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, officially retires as a Seattle Seahawk. You know, on the weight thing, Maz, I got to tell you, I coached his younger nephew, Knox, and he was 10 years old last year, and Knox is already cut up. Like, Knox is lifting, like, or they're doing push-ups or something. Like, Knox is a solid, solid kid. Hey, John, how many passing yards do you finish with in your NFL career?
I honestly have no clue. I know I have, I think I'm about 5 for 6. I think I had one incompletion on a bad snap on a field goal. But I think I was around 4 for 5 or 5 for 6. I have no clue how many yards, but none of them were really pretty, but in my household, they're some of the greatest passes of all time.
The 19-yard pass on the fake field goal against Green Bay, I remember watching that game, and I thought, I'm like, he's going to run for it, because you... Yep. I think you could. Do you think you could have made it if you would have ran, or you know, was that guy a little bit too close?
Well, it was AJ Hawk, and I played with AJ Hawk, and obviously played against AJ Hawk.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought I could have made it, but looking back, you know, if I'm going to be honest with myself, I don't. At the time, I didn't really want to go head to head with AJ Hawk, but as you mentioned, that play was the NFC Championship back in 14, and it was a run first option. So when I'm hurling around the left side there, I'm thinking run all the way. And that's why, you know, I pull up and don't make the prettiest pass, but I'm absolutely hauling butt to my left. So it all worked out, and it was, you know, one of the greatest memories I had from my playing days.
Oh, what a rush.
You know, the year you guys ended up winning the Super Bowl, did you know that there was something special about that team that year? Did it start in training camp, or was it like in week one, or wasn't it right until the end of the playoffs? Because when you were on teams that obviously don't win, when you finally did, was there something there?
Oh, it started the year before, 2012. You know, we knew we had something. We had this, you know, young quarterback, Russell Wilson. Things just really come together, and we finished off that season really strong. And we just kind of carried that right into the 2013 season. And man, we were just a very confident team. You know, I don't even want to say borderline cocky. We were flat out cocky, and it was a lot of fun because, you know, when we went into a game and we lost, we just looked at each other like, "Well, what a fluke!" You know, like we don't lose games; we just run out of time. And that's how we felt that whole season. And it was just kind of a team of destiny, and it was a lot of fun.
You know, the CFL draft is coming up. We go back to 2004. You went, I think, in round three. What do you remember about the CFL draft, John?
Yeah, it was 20 years ago now. Wow, that's crazy. But I remember it wasn't as big a deal in terms of social media. There's no social media really back then. I remember having a couple of my friends over in the basement, my girlfriend at the time, and just sitting on my dad's computer and just hitting refresh every about 30 seconds and just seeing my name come up there as literally the 24th pick in the third round. And it was just, you know, it was just a great day for me. It was, you know, thinking back, it's one of the favorite days of my career, really, just knowing that I was going to have the opportunity to play pro football.
So even though it was with the Bombers, I mean, it's a shot at the career. How important was you, or was it to you, when all of this was after the NFL thing was over? You end up coming back to Riders. You're part of Rider Nation. Is that? I know it wasn't the longest part of your football career. Will that rank somewhere up in one of the more proud moments of your football career? Getting a chance to, you know, be part of what we're all crazy about.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I grew up as a Rider fan, obviously, going to games since the mid-80s, having season tickets since 1990 until the day I was drafted that you just mentioned. So, Riders were in my blood. You know, I always kind of thought that if I had the opportunity when my career was over, I'd come back and, you know, play for the Riders, and it kind of worked out perfectly. For one, I just, when I was released from the Seahawks, I'd already played 14 years of pro football, but I still just wasn't ready to hang them up yet. So, coming back to Riders and being there for two seasons in those 3 years, it was really memorable. And, you know, I still have some of the greatest memories, some of the teammates I still talk to on a weekly basis. And yeah, just great memories, and I'm so glad I did it.
When's the last time you punted a football?
It was I'm involved with baseball ownership now, and we had a promo night last year back in April where if you could catch a John Ryan punt, you could sit in the owner's box for the rest of the game. It was kind of a cool day, and I didn't really want to share the box with anyone, so I made sure no one caught one. But it was that was the last time I put a ball to my foot.
Right on, John. Congratulations, retiring as a Seattle Seahawk, and man, Saskatchewan, not just Regina, Sasky, super proud of the career that you had, and thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Right on, John Ryan joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Officially retires as a Seattle Seahawk, Maz.
He was a Regina. It's so funny reading his Wikipedia, and you mentioned being from Saskatoon. I grew up there as well, and it shows, what was it, in 99 they won the provincial championships and they beat Evan Hardy 41. I hated Evan Hardy. They always used to kill us. They were smarter than us. They were better looking than us. Their parents were richer than our parents. They just, and they wanted everything. So I'm like,
what's
good? I like John Ryan, but I like John Ryan even more now that he kicked some Evan Hardy soul, you know what, 41-7 in 99. Yeah. For the Saskatchewan High School Football Provincial. And Holy Cross, you're the same thing as well. God, leave the West Side kids alone. Enough already. We're that Simpsons meme. Enough already. They're dead.
All right. It is the brand new Sports Cage after 5 o'clock. We're going to come back in a break here, but don't forget our new.
Our big free agent signing.
Our new big free agent signing coming down. And I love the text messages. Hey, the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. I like the chirp here from Trevor from Regina. Yes, Trevor, you got us. Lucky for us Canuck fans, Nashville is actually a 7th place team. So, yeah, we got it. Hey, you guys are in tough, though, Canuck fans. Canucks look all right. I'm okay with the Canucks. I'm okay with the Canucks making a run here for Sasky.
I have issue with that, but we can get into that.
We'll get into it later. All right.
It's all right. We'll take a break and come back. It's the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Back to the all new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Hey, if you want to be part of the Sports Cage this afternoon, you can call or text 1-306-936-6262. One of the things, it's Maz here along with Barney, one of the things that we truly do love, and we're proud to say it on the Cage, we love us some country music. If you are a Kenny Chesney fan, you know that he kicked off his... What's the name of the summer tour this weekend in Tampa? I was watching some of the socials online, and it just looked at Raymond James Stadium there. It just looked killer.
You know that you are the guy that got me into going to Kenny Chesney concerts with my bride.
I know
you sold me on the Phoenix one where Sammy Hagar was there. Yeah. I remember talking to you, and then Trish and I were getting married that year, and I'm like, oh, that's not a nice little wedding present. So we went to the fine. It was the carnival, something carnival or whatever, and it was in Indianapolis at the brand new Lucas Oil Stadium.
I think it was Sammy Hagar. There was some
Leanne Rimes, Rimes, okay.
And Gary Allen, right?
Gary Allen, Keith Urban.
Yes. Okay. So, and I still remember this because we went and saw me and my wife Abby, and my buddy T-Bone. We went and saw this in Phoenix, and I remember when Gary Allen was playing. Now, this is early in the show. If the show started at 4 o'clock, they would have been on at 5. So it's like,
yep.
It's all light out. You can see everything.
Exactly the same in Indy.
Okay, so he was either the bass player or a guitar player from Gary Allen, and he was wearing a black t-shirt, a black AC/DC t-shirt, and a kilt, like a Scottish kilt.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this, but on one of the monitors, there was a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yep.
And he took it, and he just put it straight up, and he just chugged it all the way down. And I was like, wow. But what a killer lineup. This was Keith Urban before Keith Urban. This was, you know, and Leanne Rimes, it was all of this. But
Gary Allen came on the stage in Indy, and the band started learning how to bend. Great Gary Allen song, and he picked up a bottle of Jack Daniels, Gary Allen, and took a massive swig, then started swinging or singing, and I was like, oh, this is good times. And then I don't really remember the end of that concert.
The reason why we bring this up, if you're making the road trip to Saskatoon on Wednesday, SaskTel Center, Luke Bryan's going to be in town. I mean, there's nobody bigger these days. I mean, you could say probably Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen, but consistently, he has been so good for so long. And if you haven't seen the video yet, he was performing in Vancouver on the weekend, and he took a tumble on stage. Somebody threw their cell phone on stage, and he was walking across, and he bites it, and he falls down. But Luke Bryan is such a cool guy. Now, there'll be a lot of people that instantly, they'd be mad, or they'd cut the show. He actually asked the crowd, did anybody get that? And everybody's got their phone up. He grabbed the phone and made his video crew play the wipeout on the screen, because that's what a good guy he is.
That was wild. You posted it on the Sports Cage X, or our social media folks did, and I couldn't get over that. That's what he did. He stayed on the ground. He kind of talked to the crowd. He got the camera to post it. And first off, I said to my wife, I'm like, how does he slip on a cell phone? But I guess, you know, it's and he banged up his elbow pretty good too. But yeah, what a great guy. It says speaks to kind of the kind of dude that he would be.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. It's at SportsCage. You can do that. We're going to take a break, come back. We've got our big free agent signing that's going to join us on the radio after 5 o'clock, and we'll finally let you in on this little secret here. And then we're going to be able to dive back into the NHL story as well, because it's a big night for hockey.
Yeah, big night for hockey again. Games are starting, I think, in a couple of minutes here. We got to mention while we're on the hockey, and if people are just tuning in, like you said, they can always get in 936-6262 at the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. But the Regina Rebels are now 1-1 at Nationals after dropping their first game in overtime yesterday to Ontario. They took it to the ladies from Quebec. 7-1 was the final today, and the player of the game from the Regina Rebels, as they represent Saskatchewan, Addison Grieve. She had a nice little three-point affair today, so they're back at it again in Vernon. I think they play tomorrow. Yeah, they play Tuesday against Edmonton. Edmonton's a wagon as well, so keep it going, ladies, out at the Esso Cup in Vernon. Like you said, it is time for a break. When we get back, the big free agent signing. It is the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan. It's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the bins of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Hey, thanks for taking some time with us this afternoon. We are the voice of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. It's the all-new Sports Cage. Maz McFly, Barney Shinkrick. If you want to be part of the show, you can always call us or text us, 306-936-6262. We've been teasing you since Friday about a big free agent signing that's joining the Sports Cage team. Well, he's joining the team, but he's also coming back to Rider Nation. He went to college in North Carolina. He ended up in 2006 as part of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and then he went on to hoist the Grey Cup in 2013 at Taylor Field. He's number four. He's the welcome to the Harvard media family, Darian Durant, and welcome back to Rider Nation. How does it feel today to finally say, I'm back, everybody. Here I am.
Yeah, it's amazing. First and foremost, thank you so much for having me. You know, I was trying to make my way back, so to speak, and I think this is the perfect way, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys this season, and I think it'll be exciting. I think having a different perspective, you know, from a guy who's been there, done that, and also knows what it's all about, so I'm looking forward to it.
So it's Darian Durant. So he's our big free agent signing, Grey Cup champion. Nobody more qualified to speak about Rider Nation than Darian, because, man, you've had to have big shoulders at times, because it's good. So Darian's going to be on the radio with us every Monday at around 5 o'clock, around this time. So if you want to tune in, and if you can always catch the podcast, if you can't catch it live, we're on Spotify. You just got to go to our brand new website, sportscage.com. Darian, is it safe to say, since you became a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, you've probably met tens of thousands of people that are Rider fans. Is that a safe number, or is it more than that?
Absolutely. I think you can't even put a number on it. Okay. Just in my travels across the country of Canada, you realize that Rider fans are everywhere, from coast to coast. So, you know, being that it's the biggest football market in Canada, you know, you can find a Rider fan anywhere. So it's been so great to just meet people everywhere. And, you know, it just shows you how special of a place Saskatchewan is.
Okay, because I'm going to share there's a lot of us that have I met Darian Durant story. So, and you know, we talked about this last week. So when I met Darian Durant, Barney, this is funny. I was getting on a flight, a WestJet flight at Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas, and it was going back to Calgary. And I went down for the weekend to see Eric Church at the Cosmo. He was playing a one-night show in like kind of their cabaret room. No set list. It was awesome. So I get on the plane. I'm walking on the plane, and there wasn't very many people on there, Darian. It wasn't a full flight. And I look, and right, the guy sitting in the row ahead of me, I look, I'm like, that's Darian Durant from the Riders, but he doesn't look all that good. I don't know if I'm going to bother him. So I sit down, and nothing's going on. And I'm like, I got to say, this is in 2015, you know, so the Grey Cup, it's still fresh. I'm like, I got to say something. Yeah. And you were more than gracious. And the story correctly, you were there partying or hanging out with your brother that weekend, having some fun, but you were at the Cosmo as well, correct?
Yeah. We usually, especially when he was playing as well, we would usually take one weekend out of the year and just go to Vegas and just enjoy our time together, because we didn't get a chance to spend much time together during the off season or even during the season. He was starting a family, so we didn't have much time together. So that was our time to just go to Vegas and unwind. And like we said, Vegas definitely got the best of us that weekend, for sure.
I was going to say, I don't know who looked worse, me or you, but after that, I kind of sat down. I was like, please, can this plane take off? I got to get home.
Darian, Barney here. We're going to be talking every Monday together. I'm going to say rookie move by you, Maz, because you should have tried to. I don't know if they have Clamato on the flights, but you guys both needed maybe a beer and Clamato after the nights that you have. Darian, super exciting to have you part of the team. I gotta ask, when you go back and shoot it straight here, when you go back and you found out that you were going to Regina, Saskatchewan, was it a Rand McNally? Was it the internet? What kind of research did you do first?
First and foremost, I thought it was Regina. You know, coming from the States, that's exactly how Regina is spelled, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, Regina, Saskatchewan. I mean, you know, let me do a little research on that. Because initially, I was on Hamilton's negotiation list. So I would, study Danny McManus and, you know, what was going on out there in Hamilton. And then once I was traded in, a part of the Corey Holmes trade, you know, I started doing my research. And at that time, you know, I knew football was big there, but hadn't been winning much. And, you know, I just didn't know exactly what I was getting into. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh boy, what have I gotten myself into? Am I going to a bad team? You know, I had no idea what to expect, because as a quarterback, you always want to go to a situation where you have a good supporting cast. And I just had no idea what I was getting into.
It's the Western Pizza Guest Hotline. Darian Durant, the newest member of the Sports Cage team. He's going to be on with us every Monday after 5. It's perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, and salads. The goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. So when you find out Regina, Saskatchewan is in your future, do you call your agent? Because I don't think texting was a thing, and say, what are you doing to me? I'm on the verge of firing you. What is happening right now? How did they calm you down to say, no, it's going to be good. You're going to be okay.
Well, first of all, I was coming from the ACC, I knew a little bit about Nealon Green. So, you know, I knew that Nealon had a little success there, and he was a good player. So, you know, I kind of figured if a guy like Nealon, who's a shorter quarterback like myself, if he had an opportunity to play in Saskatchewan and had a little success, then I at least have a chance. So I kind of had, you know, my hopes were a little high going in because, like I said, Nealon, I followed him, and I thought that, you know, I could at least resemble some of the success that he had. So I wasn't sad about that. I just, the biggest thing for me was going to the middle of nowhere. Like, where am I going? Where is Saskatchewan? Above North Dakota and Montana? Wow, I've never even been close to there. So I was, you know, geographically, I was a little worried for sure.
What was the shopping like? Obviously, when you got here, you had to go probably pick up, you know, the winter coat, the winter boots, all that, because you probably weren't prepared. Even when you come up here in the spring, it snows like it did last week, and it can be cold.
Exactly. That's my first training camp experience. It was snowing and sleeting in May. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no big jacket. I just came with a couple pair of sweatpants and some jeans, and I wasn't prepared at all. So, you know, for that type of weather to be in May, I was just like, you know, does it ever get warm here? It's May. I'm used to coming from the South in May where it's, you know, 80, 90 degrees out, shorts weather. So it was definitely a rude awakening for sure.
So when you show up at your first training camp, who do you become fast friends with? Like, who are some of your buddies to be like, where are we? And can I borrow a pair of your jeans or sweats? Because I'm freezing cold. Who did you end up bonding with as soon as you got to training camp?
First and foremost, Kitwana Jones. He was a former teammate of mine at the University of North Carolina. So, you know, and we actually came in the same year, in the year 2000. So, I knew him from college, so me and him initially, you know, I gravitated towards him, and he was good friends with my good old buddy Luke Mullender. They had been together since the year before, so Luke was there with me. He was a good friend off start, and a guy who's my friend to this day, and we came in the same year, Andy Fantuse. You know, you think that when a guy's picked so high in a draft, he's coming off the Head Creighton Award. You know, he had no ego. He was just as welcoming and as friendly as you know, anyone. I have to thank him for that, because a lot of guys don't even give you know, guys an opportunity. So Andy and myself, we hit it off right away. We became best friends immediately, and it just made my transition so much easier that way.
Newest member to the Sports Cage, Darian Durant, joining us here on the Western Pizza Hotline. So on the heels of that, what throughout your career, what quarterback were you tight with? You know, you hear stories in different football and all that where the quarterbacks, you know, the starter and the backup, they're just tight. Was there one guy that you were really tight with and you guys worked well together, Darian?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, it's Kerry Joseph. Kerry was so just inviting. He didn't hold any information back. Yeah. He taught me the ins and outs of the league. He taught me how to be a professional. And when it just came to, you know, not withholding anything, Kerry was that guy. I cannot thank him enough. He made my transition and me learning the game so he just sped up that process for me. It was just easy dealing with a guy like that. So, you know, even because when he was traded, you know, going to Toronto, we stayed in touch. He would help me out so much. So Kerry was definitely the closest guy that, you know, I can remember. And then, you know, as my career went on, I got close to Stephen Giles. I think some of the battles that we had in 2008 and 2009, you know, in me climbing the ladder to become the number one QB in Saskatchewan, believe it or not, even throughout our competition, Stephen and I, we were just as close as could be. You know, even though we both wanted to play, we still were great friends off the field, and, you know, that's very much appreciative as well.
Well, I got to say that the old Capital Ford Lincoln text line is blowing up. 306-936-6262. Darian Durant, newest member of the Sports Cage. Welcome back to Rider Nation. Brandon saying, Darian, back where he belongs. Thank you, Sports Cage. Love you guys. To your point about Kerry Joseph sharing with you anything and everything, you don't always see that because a starting quarterback is not going to be a starting quarterback forever. And sometimes they're very territorial because they have to be. That sometimes, it's funny you see that. There's some guys out there that it's their job, and it's not. What was it said? And I don't know. Was it the Aaron Rodgers thing and the Brett Favre? It's not my job to help you. So to have some mentorship like that, and to see Kerry Joseph now in his coaching career, you've got to take a little bit of pride knowing that whoever he comes across, those young football players are probably going to get some of the grade A education from a quality human being, because he was so talented, but I think it's his humility to me that always stood out as his number one character trait.
Right. I mean, you said it all. I mean, you just don't expect a guy, especially as accomplished as Kerry, to, you know, just take this young quarterback, this rookie, and just mentor him and show him everything about the league. But Kerry's just so selfless. He, it's just hard to put into words. He really, really, really mentored me, even after practice, you know, at nights. When quarterbacks would meet separately, he would just make sure I understood the game plan just as well as he did. And, you know, like you said, you never, ever see that in professional sports. And, you know, the thing is, he didn't even feel threatened. He came in from Ottawa. He just wanted to be a great person. He's a God-fearing man. You know, he's as nice as anybody I've ever met in my life. So for him to do that, I owe him pretty much my career, because I wouldn't have the knowledge I have today if it wasn't for Kerry Joseph.
And you're probably going to say it's a long list, but as your career progresses, who do you really feel that you reciprocated that with when they were younger and you were kind of, you know, the incumbent?
Wow. You know what? We had so much turnover behind me, you know, every year.
And, you were too good. And they couldn't. They knew you weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for that for sure. But honestly, I was more of a selfish quarterback. I wasn't the Kerry Joseph type. You know, it's not that I was the guy that would withhold information, but I just wasn't as friendly because we weren't. We were winning games, but we weren't. I felt like we weren't in a position to where I could just or myself specifically, wasn't in a position to where I could just be a mentor. I was still young myself. So I was still trying to become the best quarterback that I could be. I was still learning, you know, early on. I was in my 20s, so I was still trying to, you know, get the game myself. You know, as I got older and, you know, we were switching coaches a lot and there was a lot of turnover, I felt, you know, my job was becoming in jeopardy a little bit more, so then I became the selfish guy, you know. So I can be honest about that. I really wasn't the best mentor. As I look back, I probably could have been a lot nicer to some guys behind me. But like I said, especially before 2013 and we hadn't won a Grey Cup at the time, I was still trying to, you know, I felt the pressure of Rider Nation for sure, but I was still trying to become the guy and become the best quarterback that I could be.
Darren, you're incredibly honest. And by you saying that you weren't necessarily the best man in doing all of that, is there a point, whether it could have been last week, last month, a year, 2 years ago, that you wouldn't have been able to say that out loud? Because that's you being incredibly honest with Rider Nation, saying, "Hey, man, no, I wanted to, I was that guy. I needed that. There was no comfort level there. Like there was still a lot to prove." Yeah. Is that just a maturity thing where you look back now, going, "Okay, I see that, and maybe I would do it differently."
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think as you, once you retire and you have a lot of time to just sit back and reflect on your career and what you feel like you may, you know, could have done better, or relationships you wish you would have held on closer to you. Of course, I sit back and I think, man, you know what, Graham Harrell, you know, I could have been a little bit, you know, more giving towards him, or Drew Tate, or, you know, some of the other guys who were behind me at the time. I really could have been more of a mentor, more of a more friendly, so to speak. So you know, but that's just sometimes with the pressure that comes with Rider Nation, and then, you know, losing the Grey Cups in 2009 and 2010 and not really feeling the security, you know, that I really wish I felt at the time. You know, when I look back, I definitely wish that some of those relationships I would have, you know, held a little bit closer to my heart, for sure.
We can see the emotion in your body. I think I can see it on your face. When the final gun sounded for the 2013 Grey Cup and you knew that trophy is ours and nobody can ever take that away, how much of a relief was it to you? You talk about the pressure on your shoulders, not just as a person and as an athlete. Were you finally able to exhale?
Absolutely. I think that was the pinnacle of my career for sure. You know, speaking on 2009 and 10 again, just the heartbreak of the 2009 season, and then going back, man, in 2010 and losing again. You know, I was a younger quarterback at that time. I didn't really have a feel for how important the Grey Cup was and how important it was to Saskatchewan. You know, it was all happening so fast for me, you know, from my first start in 2008 to back-to-back Grey Cup appearances. As you know, I'm in my third year as a starter. I'm still young, so I'm still trying to understand the significance of it as well. But then when you fast forward to 2013, 3-4 years later, I'm now a 30-year-old quarterback. I'm more mature. I understand the significance of it. You know, I have just a different grasp of what it means to be a starting quarterback, the responsibility that comes with it, and, you know, just how meaningful of a place Saskatchewan is when it comes to football. So it definitely was that the moment to exhale, because, you know, you finally did it after all these years of heartbreak, years of not understanding, you know, the place that you're in as a professional. And then finally being able to just sit back and enjoy it, and to top it all off, to win at home in front of the best fans in Canada, at Taylor Field. I mean, it just, you name it, it's just so special. That moment was so special, and it definitely was a moment to exhale for me.
Absolutely. Okay, so every Monday when we talk to Darian Durant, where are you? We didn't ask you this off the start. Where are you now? Where do you lay your head? Like, where are we going to be catching you from?
In Toronto. My wife was raised here in Toronto, and we've made this home. So, you know, I'm definitely enjoying still being in Canada, and I love every bit of it.
Are you a Toronto Maple Leafs fan?
Yeah, I was going to say, does he have a Leafs jersey on right now? Is he missing the first period of the Bruins game?
I haven't become a Leafs fan, you know, being, you know, having Chris Getzlaff as my teammate.
Oh, yeah.
I've kind of been watching the Ducks over the past couple of years, and I've grew to love them a little bit. So, you know, that's where my loyalty is right now.
Okay, we'll wrap up on this. So let's say Steven Spielberg hears this interview or he hears the podcast and he wants to make the 2013, he's going to make a movie about the 2013 Riders. Would a John David Washington play a good Darian Durant in that role? Could we cast him as you, as the hero for that season? Are you okay with that?
Absolutely. I think he has some experience in his, you know, in his acting with, I can't think of the...
He was in Ballers. He was great.
Yeah, Ballers.
With The Rock.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was in Ballers.
Yeah. So he has some experience of playing an athlete in a you know, a top-notch football player. So that would be nice.
I got the name, boys. Two pairs of sweats and one pair of jeans.
The Darian Durant story.
Yes, there we go.
Okay, but the question, yeah. And we'll save this for next week. What actor plays Luke Mullender? That central casting may have a tough time with that because that is a very unique and specific type situation, and we'll get the answer. Darian, thank you. It's Darian Durant, the newest member of the Sports Cage. Yeah. He's going to be with us every Monday just after 5. And I can't wait till we get closer to football season and we can start talking some football because I want to hear what Darian Durant has. Yeah, I want to hear what Darian Durant thinks about.
That's what I'm looking for.
And he's in,
for sure.
And he's in Toronto, so it's easy to get all the games. You don't have to grind, right? Like in the States. So it's perfect.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Darian, we appreciate it. It's the newest member of the Sports Cage, Darian Durant. It's 620 CKRM. If you just caught the tail end of Darian, you can always catch our podcast on Spotify. You just have to hit us on our website, sportscage.com, and you can get the links right there. We're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to The Voice of Sports in Saskatchewan at 620 CKRM.
Beth Rowe. Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan, on this Monday for the Kinniston Super Draft. You still got a half hour to get in, and then 6 o'clock, they shut it. So get your drafts in. Chris Masaryk riding with me today. As I tell you, Darian Durant every Monday. That's going to be beauty. I love the honesty.
Okay. We've done enough interviews over the years in those long as we've been in radio. There are a lot of stock answers out there. Ugh. There is almost no honesty at all. So for Darian Durant, and if you miss this, go back and listen to the podcast. He talks about not necessarily being the best teammate or the most welcoming to like other quarterbacks in the room, not the way that
Kerry Joseph
the way that Kerry Joseph was to him, and he knows that now and he realizes that. And it's one thing to recognize if that's a flaw or a shortcoming, because we all have them. It's another thing to say stuff out loud publicly like that, especially to like the fan base that we have. But we were talking about, if we're going to make the Darian Durant story, where in 2013 the ending of the movie is him hoisting the Grey Cup, I said John David Washington would play him. And if you don't know who that is, that's Denzel Washington's kid. He's a really good actor. And so, no, and he was in Ballers and stuff, but he's a really good actor. So then we're talking about who's going to play Luke Mullender in the movie. And who did you say?
I was way,
Luke,
I
if
was
you're
li- way
Luke,
off.
If you're listening, and I know we're having lunch on Wednesday, and I don't
off.
Want any heat when we show up.
I was
but
way off.
I
wanted to go a young, like picture a young James Earl Jones.
I only can picture an old James Earl Jones. I don't know a young James Earl. So, Luke, we'll figure out who's going to play you in the Darian Durant story. A guy who shows up in Saskatchewan in May when it's snowing and he has a pair of sweats and no jacket.
Two sweats.
Two pairs of sweats and a pair of jeans to being a Grey Cup champion and a forever hero in this province. It has a happy ending.
Yeah, it's going to be good every Monday, though. And that's going to be good every Monday. We're going to obviously have some sponsor that wants to jump on the sponsor, and that's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you were... I mean, the best part, like, he is, for a generation of Ryder fans, he is the culmination of the Hobson era and everything from when they got good and then they started to dominate, and like anything, they had to learn how to win. And then 2009, it sucked being in Calgary. I was there when we lost the Grey Cup. That eerie silence after the 13th man incident, it was, it was awful. And then leaving the state, I'd never heard silence like that from a crowd that big. Like, it was... I've never experienced that. I don't even remember 2010 being in the Grey Cup because everyone was so crushed from 2009.
2009, like you said, crushed. Also, that was my dad passed away that week. The week before, and he was a massive Ryder fan. So the whole family gathered, the funeral, everything. We were watching this game. Like, Dad would be, this would be so awesome. The Riders are going to win the Grey Cup, and Dad's looking down and all that, you know, stuff that comes with that. And then the 13th man.
I know, because we were there, and when you were in the stadium, you obviously couldn't hear what was going on because we don't have the beauty of TV or the replays. It's just like they missed the field goal, and we're celebrating and we're going crazy, and all of a sudden there's flags, and I happened to look down, and there's enough replays out there now, just players slamming their helmets down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you can see the Montreal sideline erupt because they were across from us. And then they kick that field goal again. And then what happened? Instant buzz. Like, if you had a buzz, it was over instantly. Damn. After that, you sobered up like that. I don't remember 2010. I know that we were there, but there's no memory of that. So 2013 was...
Cowboys was, it was going to be a record night, and it went to probably being, you could shoot a cannon through Cowboys after.
Everywhere in the city, because the Grey Cup was in Calgary, and it had the Riders won, no matter what bar, pub, wherever you went, if they would have been selling liquor and had a VLT machine and cigarettes, it would have been mayhem everywhere. Other than that, it was just, you know, the air was gone, and... the vibe was crushed. So, Darian, welcome back. Appreciate it. We got NHL hockey going on.
Yeah. So Darian's Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. They went down 1-0 early to the Bruins. Nice power play goal from Morgan Geeky, assisted by Brad Marchand and Jake DeBrusk, for all you poolies out there. But it was literally, I'm watching it here, I want to say it was like 15 seconds later, Toronto answers Max Domi from Austin Matthews. So it's 1-1. Toronto's on the power play, and there's 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first period. So that's your little update as we sit live here.
It's funny. There's a lot of us, and when we had Eric Francis on the show earlier, talked about same thing with the Leafs. He said out of all three goalies, none of them are a starter. It's going to be same old again.
I like you start the Eric Francis interview with drinking and all that, and then you started the Darian one with that as well. It's like every time.
Well,
you
no, that,
somebody...
that's my Darian Durant, because everybody has I met this person there, and for Darian, he's probably shaken a lot of hands, signed a lot of autographs. Look at last year when they came back and they honored the 2013 Grey Cup team. He just walked around and signed autographs. So I figured it's not like I met him outside a co-op or something when he was getting grocery, like maybe in a common situation. There was only a couple of us on the plane, and there's our star Grey Cup winning quarterback who looks like he's not okay. I'm stumbling on the plane. I'm like, well, I'm going to take advantage of this. But then I was respectful. It was 30 seconds, and then I left him alone. Didn't say another word, because I'm like, no, if you're paying for the sins of Las Vegas or whatever, yeah, you should be able to do it quietly without anybody bothering you.
Capital Ford Lincoln text line 306-936-6262. Yeah, like you said, people chiming in, loving the doubles, as they say, signing of Darian Durant. We also got this earlier. We didn't mention this. On the heels of NHL, local Lumsden boy going to be reffing a few of the games. I'm not sure which ones, but Peter McDougall from Lumsden, official in the NHL. He is getting the playoff assignments. So, yeah, pretty cool, okay, right?
So is this the guy whose family dressed up a few weeks ago at his very first game where they all dressed up as referees? Because I think that guy went to Notre Dame. He's a Sasky guy.
Maybe.
And he's reffing NHL. We'll have to Google
this. I missed that game.
No, but anyways, like, it was his first game or something, and his whole family flew in for the game, and they all dressed up like referees, and they're sitting in the stands. It went viral.
Well, I don't think if it was his first game a few weeks ago, he'd be doing probably, an NHL playoff game.
Yeah, it's a different family.
Okay.
He's probably not. Sheldon Keefe's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to get fired in three more hockey games, and this is your first game in the NHL? Come on. Something's working against me.
Colson's got it here.
Yes. Stephen Hiff was his first NHL reffing game that his family showed up all dressed up.
Stephen Hiff. And I believe he is a Notre Dame alumni. And next Thursday, or May 2nd Thursday, we're actually going to be, me and you're going to be live at Notre Dame in Wilcox.
Yeah.
It's a Hounds Day thing.
Oof.
And they're going to be trying to raise, Luke Mullender just texted me. I don't want to read it. I'm scared to read it.
So I'm okay. Oh, no, he did text me. There it is.
Yeah, no, you're copied on that too. Yeah. Oh, no. I just saw the picture. No, you're not that good looking. Okay, so we are actually going to be live at Notre Dame May 2nd, 3 to 6. It's a Hounds Day thing. It's the day where they're going to be raising funds. We're going to try and they got a goal of $125,000. And this is money that will go to help students go to school there, the bursaries. Smart, talented kids maybe don't necessarily have the financial means. This is where this comes in. So we're going to have special guests. We've got alumni. So we've got Jaden Schwartz already confirmed,
yeah.
Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
Gary Lehman, former Leaf and former Flame, is going to be on with us.
Speaking of, have you seen that Borya?
I've tried to get into it. I don't know.
You got to watch the first one. The first one was slow.
Okay.
You got to watch them all.
I have a thing. We pay for all these extra channels like Crave on our cable package, and then I don't end up watching them. And then whenever I'm like, we should get rid of those, I'm like, well, no. What if something comes on? I have FOMO.
Yeah.
You know, I pay for it and don't watch it, but I don't want to get rid of it. And then also, too, on that day, all-time beauty, and I love this guy, general manager of the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, proud Notre Dame alumni, is going to be on with us this afternoon.
Wait until I ask him, so you can hear it. We had him on the pod. Wait till we ask him about the hitchhiking story. It's an all-time classic from when he was at Notre Dame. Bear Trotzy, like, there is nobody from Manitoba, right? But just an absolute beauty. He's like a Kelly McCrimmon. Yeah, that's going to be a great day. And like you said, you know, the money goes to a good place. Some of these student athletes.
When you walk in and you see the Wall of Fame, men and women, from such a... When you drive into town and you see how small the town of Wilcox is, and then you see the campus, and then you see all of the people that have come out of there that have gone on to do great things, that's a pretty good batting. That batting average, you're in the 900. That save percentage is in the 900s there. That is outstanding. And so if you're wondering who Luke Mullender thinks should play him in the Darian Durant story, if John David Washington is going to play Darian, he sent a picture of The Rock. And I get it. I don't see it. I get it, but I don't see it. Like, we don't have, in this economy, we don't have Rock money. That is like, you're not number one on the call sheet. Okay. That's John David Washington. All right. So.
Oh, Luke went there, did he?
Beauty. We're going to Vic's Tavern for lunch on Wednesday. You can't, when you find a good beef dip, you never go away from a good beef dip.
I don't think I've ever had the beef dip there. I love a nice beef dip, though.
You can't beat a good beef dip. No. We do that. It's been an interesting show today. Oh, there's more. You're copied on that text too. It's been good. It's been kind of all over the place. We'll have the podcast up after 6. Not only will we have the whole show for you if you want to go on Spotify, but we will have the interviews broken down. So we will have our Eric Francis interview. We will have our John Ryan interview. And we will have our Darian Durant interview.
So tonight, hockey, right? Okay, so the Bruins and Leafs are on right now. Islanders Hurricane just starting. Now, I am absolutely intrigued, mostly because I am pot committed. Last year I was pot committed on the Golden Knights. This year I am, man, Dallas Stars. I got stars all over the place. That is such an intriguing series. I'm not an Oilers fan. Like I said earlier when we started the show, I can see how this is going to go. They're going to go two rounds probably, and then it's curtains, and people that you can just hear the hearts break everywhere. They got the Kings. I don't think the Kings can skate and play with the Oilers this year. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, yes.
The good thing about the Kings, if you're an Oiler fan, is they never solved their goalie situation at the deadline. If they would have got a Jacob Markstrom and that was out there, an LA Kings team with a Jacob Markstrom as your starting goalie, okay, that's one thing. But the Kings are another one where they can put it together and they can play well, but goalie, is Cam Talbot going to be your guy? Is Phoenix Copley, is he still around? It's one of those, is that going to be enough? And I don't know. Like Leon Draisaitl, I mean, does he have one more year after this year? Like, they're wasting his best years, so they got to do something.
I think this is the year, or some of these guys are going to be like, you know what, it's been real, but it hasn't been real nice. I want out.
Yeah, and I can picture my cousin Robin, him and his wife and his kids, and like a lot of people, he lives in Saskatoon and he drives to Oilers.
Oh,
he's a season ticket holder. He'll drive to games. Yeah, but the whole family is dressed up for the games.
Face paint guy? Is he face paint guy?
Oh, he's been a lot of thing guy. He was fishbowl at Benihana in Vegas guy on his first trip to Vegas, and that turned out to be a disaster because I had to end up babysitting. But anyways, he's the right, like a lot of Oiler fans living in Saskatchewan, he's ride or die, and I just don't know. Like, it would be a nice story. Like, could you imagine the Connor McDavid thing? I'm sure Gary Bettman would be okay with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl winning the Stanley Cup a lot more than they would be anybody associated with the Winnipeg Jets winning the Stanley Cup. Just, I don't know. Like, I think they can get by the Kings, but well, like I said, if it is Vegas, especially if it's Dallas, like, I don't think that... Oh, man.
No, you know... okay, so this period is almost done. Looks like the Leafs and Bruins are going to the dressing room tied 1-1. William Nylander not playing again for
and
Toronto.
Nobody knows why. I saw Biz from Spit and Chicklets. He was private messaging the Toronto Maple Leafs to see if he could get an answer as to why William Nylander's not playing. Now, speaking of pot committed, and he's the best because he's a big personality and he has 8 favorite NHL teams. Like last night when the Canucks were winning, he's like, yeah, go Canucks. But he's so in on the Leafs and people love to beat him up for that. But same thing there. I don't know. That Vegas... Golden Knight, Dallas Stars. I like Dallas. A lot of good players on that team. Like Joe Pavelski. What has he played? Like 1,400 games? Hasn't won a Stanley Cup.
Can that guy tip a puck?
I know, can he tip a puck? But you know what? If Vegas won again, I don't mind. Why? Because it's Kelly McCrimmon and a bunch of dudes from Western Canada playing hockey the right way. And people are going to be like, LTIR is not the right. It's a rule. Everybody can take advantage of it. And keep in mind, the Mark Stone injuries, they're legitimate. It's not like they're just sitting this guy out. Every game last year that you saw, when he would get cross-checked in the lower back and you'd see him double over and wince, and he'd just skate away. And then when you find out, what was it in the game that they won the cup, he played with a broken arm?
Yeah. Something.
Like, just a warrior guy. Like, say, it's one of those things, like the LTIR, I don't think they're just stashing guys. It's legit. Because didn't he have a spleen?
He
had a ruptured spleen. I've never had a ruptured spleen, but I don't think that's anything that you can fake. So if it is Vegas, I'm okay with that.
Samsonov for... the Leafs is down here. Okay, now he's back up. There's 13 seconds left in the period. I think he got hit in the side of the head with a puck. They're trying to bank it in off the side of his head. So, you know, he's back at it, Leaf fans. Okay, time for a quick break. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Inside the Sports Cage, Maz and Shink here today. We're almost done. You know what? Of course I jinxed it. Sorry, Leafs fans. I said they're going to the dressing room tied 1-1. Then Samsonov gets his head taken off with a side shot, and then it goes it was actually a really, really nice goal. Again, sorry Leaf fans. Pavel Zacha makes a sick pass to Pasternak. It's 2-1 Bruins. going into
speaking
the first.
Speaking of hearts breaking everywhere, like if you're a Leafs fan, how tense? Because I know what it's like when you're watching a Ryder game and I'm feeling tense.
Oh, yeah.
That usually means more. What I switched, it was Coors Lights and then it was Michelob Ultras and then I was back to the Coors Lights because you know when you get crazy, speaking of pot committed and crazy and superstitious, if your team wins, you stick to certain things because I think there was a time when the right, it wasn't like when, you know, depending on if we were on a winning streak or not, what I was stocking the fridge with to watch the game because if you're, like I said, if you're a Leafs fan, if you're down 0-2 going back home, you're maybe winning one. And everybody in Maple Leaf Square, I always look at that. My brother-in-law from the States pointed that out because they live in Florida and he was watching all the outside. And he said to me, and it was pretty funny, and he didn't mean it in the way, but I was like, that's actually really good. He goes, why do they keep showing all the poor people outside that can't afford tickets? Like, I don't get this with Canada. Like, why do they do that? I'm like, that's awesome. All the poor people outside that can't afford tickets.
Was he talking about because Pat McAfee talked about the Winnipeg atmosphere yesterday.
Yeah, inside, like exactly. The outside. Yeah, all the outside fans. Like when they show them in the parking lot, like the Oiler fans by the porta potties or the Flames fans outside the Saddle Dome. There was by the porta potties.
The Winnipeg one yesterday, they did like a pan job, right? And it's like the whiteout outside Winnipeg is unbelievable. And it's like dude in his white sunglasses and his affliction jeans and his neck tattoo. And I'm like, yes, that's Winnipeg. That is so Winnipeg. Right there.
Yeah. The poor people that can't afford the tickets out front by the portable bathrooms.
We're back at it tomorrow. It's Don Hewitt and Derek Bidwell. They have the show. I'm back on Wednesday, and Wednesday it's game three between Flin Flon and Melfort. So maybe do a little preview of that, some Western Hockey League. It's been a great show. Like you said, get the podcast because you got the Eric Francis interview. You got James Gallo, right, talking about the Warriors as well. Then we got Eric Francis as we released him to Sports Cage Nation. And then John Ryan, great interview. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, John, for coming on. And then Darian Durant, every Monday now, 5 o'clock. That's going to be a fun one. And he's got tons of connections, too.
I want to ask about his brother play, you know, his
Cowboys.
His brother Justin played. Yeah, he played in the Tony Romo era.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, just a beauty.
Jerry Jones stories. Just, come on, give us some Jerry Jones stories.
Here, you don't play for him anymore. Come on, some Jerry. But maybe if you were once part of Jerry World, you don't ever go against Jerry World because you know what? You know the big blue star.
Yeah.
And the Dallas Cowboys. Speaking of heartache and pain on the internet, there's Oiler fandom and Leaf fandom, and then there's Dallas Cowboy fandom on the internet when things don't go right.
And then Thursday, you're back with us because we are at the U of R Rams dinner.
Yeah, we're going to be live at the Conexus Arts Center. It's the 55th annual Regina Rams Sports Dinner. Special guest speakers include Corey Mace and new offensive coordinator Mark Mueller. Hopefully he's going to tell everybody in the crowd that night how they're going to be dialing it up and scoring anywhere between 40 to 56 points a game. I'm thinking everybody in Rider Nation will be A-OK with that.
Yeah.
But thanks again for everybody who's been part of the Sports Cage today. If you caught us live, great. If you can't, on the podcast. And you can always go to our brand new website at sportscage.com.
For Maz and for Colson, did a heck of a job searching up Google for us and on the board as well. Barney Shinkaruk, and we'll talk to you again, Saskatchewan.